Hello, everybody. Good morning and happy Thursday, March 7th. 8 days from the Ides of March, which means we won't have a show on the Ides of March. It'll be Friday. So that's too bad. But I'd rather be Friday than be a show day, to be honest. Because Friday's better, even though I like Thursdays. Friday's going to beat Thursday most times. Okay. I'm going to add Doug in here to Instagram. And we will get started. We've got some interesting stuff today. I'm excited for today's show. There's a new ad from Daya out. And we now know it is pronounced Daya because that's how they pronounce it in the ad. Which I just thought was interesting. It's even more alienating of the audience, perhaps, than the message in the ad. But all right, Doug's at it. Doug, what's up?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Going well.
Yeah. I don't know. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. It's a good one. Thirsty Thursday for you, right?
That's right.
Taco day, band practice. Get a nice Tecate or something. What do you drink on band day?
I drink Modelo's, typically. Mm-hmm. Modelo Especial with a little lime out of the can. Yep. Or I'm sorry, out of the bottle. Way mm-hmm. better than the can.
Yep. I like Modelo.
Even though it's probably skunked because a clear glass, right? Not good for...
Yeah, that's right. Not great for beer preservation.
That's right. But yeah, that's my Mexican beer choice. How about yours? What are you?
Modelo is the one I drink most often. That's the one that I see the most at soccer events and things. So that's generally what I. But I like Dos Equis. Tecate, mm-hmm. I like too. I just don't really ever see it. Pacifico, I'll drink every now and then, but it's not as good as the others to me.
Pacifico.
So, yeah. So that's mine.
So this is kind of funny, and I don't want to talk too much about alcohol here, but I have found a new appreciation for just like a very generic light beer.
Mm-hmm.
Low gravity, refreshing.
Yeah, I think I have too. Everyone used to hate on those, of course, mm-hmm. and we said that was like just the worst style of beer, and it was what was wrong with American beer. And then the craft beer movement came as a response to that. But yeah, I know what you mean. I like those when they're like I'm more than I used to. I like actual Pilsner style beers, mm-hmm. and I think it's just a mental like a hang up. Yeah, and I think it's probably just a mental hang up. Right? If you gave me a Budweiser instead of a whatever a real uh-huh. one is, Pilsner or Kel, I probably wouldn't notice a difference. But the story I'm telling myself is, oh, this is a real Pilsner. This is from the place. You know, I want that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I like those more than I used to. I definitely drink more lager than I used to. By a good bit. Still not that much. I don't drink very much beer anymore. It's mostly just wine that I drink. But when I do drink beer, I prefer Dos Equis.
I had my first beer from home in several weeks last night, just because I wanted one, and mm-hmm. it was a Coors Banquet.
Oh yeah,
good old Coors Banquet out of the funky. I'm a sucker for a unique bottle too. That's part of my problem.
Is that just like Coors Original, right? That's the Banquet beer.
Yeah, Coors Banquet is the original. Okay. Yep.
I don't know if I've ever had one of those, honestly. Where do you even get it?
It's not bad. Just from from the grocery store.
So you have a six pack of that?
Is like $4 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that being all right. I'm not gonna hate on that one.
No, you can't. You can't.
No.
And it was like it's like 3.9% alcohol. I don't know what it is, but it's like super low. So that's nice too.
Yeah, it's a huge win. That is one of my favorite things about beers, is finding a low alcohol one. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't talk too much about beer because someone's going to, have an intervention and say we need to listen to ourselves rationalizing and all that stuff. So we can't go too far into the beer. People will get upset.
No. I mean, you do need to do that, Matt. But, it's like, I'm just kidding.
We do have a comment on YouTube I wanted to talk about, but not just yet, in a minute. First, we said maybe we'd get a running update by the end of this week. So
did we say this week?
On that maybe possibility. Yeah, you said it was maybe by the end of the week. And then definitely next weekend, by next week for sure. But a possible by the end
definitely,
of this week.
No, not by the end of this week. Definitely by next week. I think I told you I ran yesterday morning. I didn't run today.
Yes, you did that.
And it was just terrible. It was a really bad run. Did I tell you that? Mm. I don't know if I mentioned
No, that. I don't think you said
it. In the rain, it was quiet and peaceful. It was just like a real sluggish run, which I've been having a lot of recently. I'm not sure what that's about.
Maybe it's that speed work you've been doing. Slowed you down.
Maybe
that was the problem. All right. Well, good morning to Alex Turton, Big Media X Claws, Stephen Dunn, Scott Mulholland, Garuda Legends, Britters, Dale Stevens, Daniel P., Amory Dubin, Mr. Jeffrey, think that's all. And Kate showed up late because the chat wouldn't load. But yeah, good turnout already today. Hopefully we'll get up those numbers like we had yesterday, where we had somehow the unexpected Twitter audience or X audience. So anyway, that was good. What else, Doug? I realized I hadn't checked in on my WhatsApp plans. No plans. Soccer, bunch of soccer games. Normal. Mm-hmm. I had not checked in on my New Year's resolution, which was read a book a week. That kind of became the resolution. It wasn't really an official thing. It just sort of, I started doing it. I'm on track. I've read 12 books. I just counted them up. I'm about halfway done, two others, but I'm definitely losing ground. I was like at the end of January, which was whatever, 5 weeks. I think I had maybe 10 books done already. So, or maybe, wow. Maybe it was more like 8 or 9. Probably 8 or 9. So I was way ahead of pace there. Now I've slowed down and the days are catching up to my books. So anyway, I gotta speed up a little bit from where I am, but it's good. I'm on track and I'm happy with that. One of the best things I realized, I wrote down a little list of like the books that I would maybe like to read. And I put maybe at the top because I didn't want it to become a big reading list that like, I have to get through these before I can just pick up a book that seems interesting at the time. Cause that will kill my reading. If I start to accumulate a list that I have to read, but I'm not for some reason. Right. So I just made a bunch of maybe reads and like, I only got 15 things. And that's like from the past few years of books that I've like said, hey, I want to read that. And so I realized if you actually do read a book a week in a year, at least for me, I mean, you could just demolish the list of things you kind of hoped you could read. And you'd have read 35 more books beyond that. So
yeah,
it's a good habit. And it's really not been that hard. Like we spent so much time.
That's a lot of reading. Like how many hours do you think you're spending reading to read a book a week?
I don't know. I'm pretty fast, but I don't know, probably 4 hours a week, maybe.
It takes you 4 hours to get through a book.
I think so. I mean, it varies, of course, depending on the book and text size and all that. But yeah, try to read fast. I use some of those speed reading principles. I'm not like a dedicated speed reader, but I try to.
Yeah.
Butter says how long are they? It varies.
Are you are they all nonfiction? A lot of like.
Yeah, they've all been nonfiction.
Self improvement.
I was doing a lot about the financial trading type stuff, and I still have read some of those. I mean, personal growth kind of things. There's a book called The Tools that I really like. There was a documentary called Stutz. That's the name of the guy, the author and the psychiatrist. Jonah Hill like makes the documentary about him. He's like in his office basically for a session, and it's just a documentary about his techniques. And it's really interesting. So I watched that documentary, and then I started adding those books to my list and read one of them, but I've got one and a half more. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that kind of stuff. I don't know. And then I read a cool book about language learning. That was one of my just feel like reading books about how we process language in the brain, how we have like a list of words that we memorize and a list of rules that we have memorized and a big debate over which one is applied when and what is language acquisition and learning, like Latin, not foreign language, but like your native language. Like, do we do it with rules or do we do it from recalling from memorization? And it's really interesting the way irregular verbs of all things can like point us to the answers to these things and start to give us clues as to how we actually do process stuff. So I don't know. I think that's really neat. So I enjoyed that one. And that was not self-improvement. That was just fun.
I love it.
So there you go.
I think we got a lot of mixed readers here. You know, Britters, Dale Stevens says, I'm looking for read a page. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Jeffrey is along those same lines. I don't know if I've read 4 hours this year and I'm a student. But then we have Anne Marie, who's read 6 books so far. It's a couple a month, every other week. And there was someone else who was doing a lot of reading. So, I'm with Mr. Jeffrey here. No surprise. A lot of my reading is article, short form based.
I used to be a big book reader, and then I went through a period, like everyone, I think, this whole technological revolution where like, we just basically stop reading for a while because there's all these other inputs and forms of reading. And I found it for a while just so hard to read 3 sentences on a page. It was just, I just couldn't sit there and read. And I realized my attention span had just shrunk from all these other forms of learning and forms of processing. And I'm glad to have righted that because that was a very real thing. So I think people probably experience that. And it seems like some people do here. So there you go. There's my update. That's what I do. And if you take a bath every day, a lot of time in there once the morning show planning is done to just sit back and read a little bit.
So I need to have a kid who does a lot of soccer, plays a lot of soccer.
Yeah.
And take a bath. And then I'll get a bunch of reading.
Get yourself to read. Yep. That is right. Now you probably go run around during soccer and ruin it. Uh-huh. Or talk to people, go out and talk to the other parents.
Yeah. So be antisocial, anti-fitness. Yeah. Yeah, perfect. All right.
Yeah.
Change my personality. Then I'll be a good reader. Now I've actually done more reading this year than I have probably all of last year already.
Good.
So that's good.
I rubbed off, I guess. Positive influence. Maybe.
Or just I'm motivated by something else, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So here's the comment. This is from Lazy Chess Player One on YouTube, who I think has left his comments before. I don't remember what they were, but I think they were similar to this, where they're sort of calling us out or keeping us honest. And I think it's worth addressing because I do appreciate it. You know, I don't want to be inconsistent here. The comment was, just wondering why you talk so much about vegan documentaries if you don't care about how other people eat. And this is in response, by the way, I think this is from 2 days ago episode when we were, I think it was that person, Richard Gaines, was saying, you know, implying that as a vegan, you sort of, it's part of it is like spreading the message. He didn't say that exactly, but anyway. So, and I said, that's never been it for me. Like I went vegetarian because I wanted to. I just felt like I didn't like how I felt eating animals. I just ethically said, I don't want to do that anymore. But I never said like, and I also want to spread that to everyone as much as possible. It was just about me. And I think people assume because I started the website and all that, like my mission was to get people to eat this way. When in fact, it was just an interesting thing to do that I enjoyed doing. Anyway, so they said, just wondering about that. I have no problem with spreading the message, but seems a bit odd to spend several days talking about why you are what you eat supposedly wasn't optimally persuasive to omnivores if that's not your goal. And I think I had to think about it. I thought that is a really good point. Why do we talk about those things, you know, and their potential to spread the movement? And we talk about that a lot. We talk about like how maybe flexitarian, if that's a better way to spread this way of eating, to get people to eat less animals than trying to convince them to go completely vegan. So we definitely talk about that a lot. That's a topic that comes up a lot. You know, is this the best way we can kind of spread the message? And it's a good, and so I don't know the real answer. Like I said, it's not like I sat down and thought out this plan and said, I'm going to be the vegan guy who doesn't try to spread the message and here's how it's all going to work. It just never was the motivating thing for me. And I think I found always that like people actually, you know, it helped in getting attention to the stuff I was doing. If you caught people off guard by being the opposite of that kind of vegan, what people expected to be the militant vegan who's always telling you how you should eat and how you should think, how your ethics should be. And I found if I was like the polar opposite of that, but still exemplified the stuff and provided tools and things and helped people to do it if they wanted, but never really saying you should do this, just letting people come to that themselves. That just worked really well. And so I think just as I saw that worked and I just kept doing it, like that's just kind of what happened. So as to why do we do this? I mean, if we spend a couple of days talking about you are what you eat, it's because there was nothing else to talk about that day. Like that's what we do. It's when there's a documentary news, it's like, all right, we'll talk about that. That'll be the show today. I don't know. I think it's interesting, the idea of how this, and I think the fact that we've been doing this now for 15 years, you know, we've seen a lot of these different things and what has worked and what doesn't. It's not that I don't want it to spread. I do want the movement to spread. Like I would love for people to eat less animals. That would be great. I've just never considered it like my job is my role in this world is to get people to do that. It was more just, I just started the blog because it seemed interesting to me. It wasn't like a big mission. So I never got that big mission. I just kept doing that and I'm still doing that now. So there you go. There's my answer. I don't know if that's satisfactory or not, but it is honest.
Well, so here's the thing. It's like, I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for myself. Of course I care what people eat, right? Of course I care about, you know, how the food system is impacting the animals, how it's impacting the environment, how it's impacting the health of the my community, right? Like, of course, I care deeply about how people eat, but I don't view it as my I guess, goal in everything we produce, everything we do, to have that be the goal for what we produce to convince people to eat a certain way, right? Right. I want to be able to show people that you can, you know, be a fairly normal dude, at least I think I am, and be a vegan. You can be an athlete and be a vegan. You can talk about things intellectually and not have it be super slanted towards, you know, just how you would a stereotypical vegan or a stereotypical anyone would view something. And like, I think that that's important. And like you said, I think that is really effective at convincing people, or not convincing, but helping people understand that, like, they can eat a little bit less meat, or they can eat a little bit less dairy. They can kind of make some lifestyle choices that are probably more aligned with what I would want them to do, mm-hmm. and not feel like it's this huge radical change. So, like, I care deeply about what people eat, but I'm not going to, like, target people, and I'm not going to try to convince them in a very direct way to do something. It's just, I want to demonstrate through my life and through my actions that what's possible on a vegan diet, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I think the way we talk about things, the way I like to talk about things on this show is to, you know, is to be a little bit, I don't want to say critical, but, you know, kind of call out some of that in your face activism, as maybe not the most effective for getting people to make more vegan friendly choices. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last thing I would say about that is, I've already forgotten what it was, but, you know, I mean, it's the same way. Like, I care about people's politics, right? Right. Like, but I'm not going to go out and confront people about them all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just, you know, when you feel passionately about something, you want other people to appreciate that and to agree with you. Right. But I'm not a very confrontational person. And I think that confrontation often leads to people digging in deeper, and it kind of is the antithesis of helping spread a movement or spread a, mm-hmm. you know, a philosophy.
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. I also don't like the confrontation too much. And I think that's why I like this science. And that's why I actually got excited about What the Health before I saw it, because I thought this is about real science and this is going to be, I don't know, like, I guess to me, like, I don't want to try to convince somebody how their ethics should be. Like I said, like, when I decided that eating animals felt wrong to me, it just felt wrong to me. I didn't think everyone in the world is wrong if they continue to do that. It's just, for me personally, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I like when science comes along that supports that, because then I can help people who like, you know, just want to be healthier. And then, you know, if as a consequence, they end up doing this thing, that's good. But I didn't ask them to change their ethics, right? So I really do like the mm-hmm. science stuff, and that's why I got excited about that one. And then I was disappointed when so much of it seemed to be other reasons why you should, for ethical reasons or environmental reasons, why you, like, owe it to everybody else to be vegan. So I didn't like that so much. But anyway, there you go. Enough about that. Too serious. But I did like the comment, lazy chess player one, and appreciate it. So wanted to give it some time here.
I like Alex's comment here. You can, I need to show the world that I can build a chair that nobody wants to sit in and still be a vegan.
Yeah, right. That's from the Nomad Athlete radio show on Friday that we did. We talked all about big goals and hobbies and things. And somehow the thing we kept coming back to was Doug's woodworking hobbies, which we don't talk about on this show very much. We don't make fun of at all, but we'd made fun of it for the whole hour of that, basically. Doug got all into woodworking.
You have enough to make. Made one chair. You have your other things that we make fun of.
Nobody
for,
sits in his chair, which is good. I like that. But hey, I don't fault you for that one. I like that. I like having a hobby that is just that. And
yeah,
who cares if nobody sits in your chair, Doug? It's all right.
Ms. Jeffrey says, before we move on, if you're willing to critique yourself and be open to opposing opinions, people will care a lot more about what you have to say. And that, I have absolutely found that right. If you're willing to listen and actually talk to people, then
right.
That's so much better than yelling at them.
Agreed. People are saying audiobooks are great. People may be surprised to know that I don't count audiobooks as real books. Erin is also trying to read a book a week, and she's got all these audiobooks on her list, and they are barred from the record. They do not count as books towards this thing because they don't take as much effort as reading. So they're not in.
So it's about effort. It's about the effort, yeah, not about the consumption of the material.
Badge of honor to read a book. And that's why I keep it, put it on your shelf, display the shelf behind you so everyone can see how many books you've read. Look, see that? Look at all those books.
It's an ego thing, Matt. Yeah, so I get it. Now it makes sense.
It's for show, man.
Now it makes sense.
I should clarify, Erin is also reading as many books as she needs to, regular books. She asked me last time that I bashed the audiobooks to point out that she is reading enough books purely in print, and audiobooks are just a bonus on top of that.
I'm in complete disagreement. I think an audiobook consumption is the same as reading a book.
Okay. Well, it's not, but okay. It does much different things in your brain and how you process and all that. It's just different thing.
Okay.
Different types of books that are consumed different ways.
Oh, that's true. I will agree with that.
All right. So there we go. There's our stuff out of the way. Let's get into the show, and we'll get to this Daya ad, which is partly why I wanted to preface it with that, responding to that comment, because it's just kind of along those lines, and we'll, not entirely, but it's that kind of discussion. So we'll get to that in a minute, and it'll be good, I think. All right, but first, everyone, get excited, because there may be a new oat milk Oatly ad coming our way, because they've put out a newly developed plant-based Oatgurt range in German chiller cabinets. I guess that means refrigerators in grocery stores, chiller cabinets. Oatgurt, is that what people call it now? I mean, is that a term you've heard before, Doug?
Oatgurt?
Spellcheck doesn't object to that at all in the show plan.
Really?
It's a terrible sounding name. It just doesn't sound like a good thing.
Oatgurt.
Oatgurt, yeah. It sounds like a German thing. Germans probably love that word and product. Anyway, they've made that on the heels of the barista oat milk that's doing really well. And then after that, the coffee creamers that they have recently released in the US. I haven't seen any ads for any of this stuff, thankfully. Please keep making products, no ads. I think that's Oatly at their best. By the way, they came up in the Daya conversation. Apparently they've also kind of alienated people, moving away from the vegans and more towards the mainstream.
Mm.
So anyway, the new Oatgurts come in unsweetened vanilla, blueberry, strawberry, and mango peach passion fruit, which contain live bacterial cultures. And so, I mean, that's good. It's yogurt. I can see oat yogurt seeming like a good thing. It just seems creamy and good. I would definitely eat. I'm not really a yogurt eater of any kind. Never really got into the coconut or soy yogurts at all. I didn't even like.
Is it a health? Is that for health reason or texture?
Texture. I just never liked it. It just wasn't for me. Uh-huh. But oat, I don't know. Somehow I could see the oatgurt being good. You said it is good, Doug. Mm-hmm. You like yogurt?
Yeah, I love yogurt. Yeah. I mean, I can't have it around the house too much because I'll just gobble them up.
Is that right?
they're not.
What if you get unsweetened? You're still going to gobble that up?
Maybe not. No. Maybe not unsweetened.
You like this?
But like a vanilla yogurt? Oh.
Yeah.
Vanilla, like soy, yogurt.
I haven't tried a plant-based yogurt in a long time. I had one right when I went vegetarian first. I went to the store. It's like this one like landmark shopping trip where I went to the health food store and got all this stuff that I had never dreamed of buying before in my first week as a vegetarian. And I included soy yogurt, and I took one taste and I said, I'm never trying that again. So that was kind of the end of my plant-based yogurt. I'm sure it's so much better now, but that was it. That was all I took.
There's a lot of options. I mean, there's like multiple brands in every grocery store of plant-based yogurt.
Hmm. Yeah. Good. That's good. I mean, I don't ever consider it, but I'd eat that. I mean, I'd try it. It's not like I'd be excited, but I'd give it a try. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, little science, a new article in the Journal of American Medical Association Network Open on nutrition, obesity, and exercise. And what they found was that people who eat a plant-based diet for a long-term period, they are at no greater risk or no less risk for having a hip fracture. So that's good, because we've seen these criticisms of plant-based diets as being increased fracture risk. And definitely as you get older, a fracture, especially a hip fracture, that's a major medical event. And that could be at the beginning of the end often. So that's a great thing. There was more though, and this is the actual like most interesting part of the study, I guess. Women with a recent healthy plant-based diet. So like, they've gone plant-based fairly recently. I don't know if I have the exact numbers in front of me. I might. They had a 21% lower fracture risk. But if most recently they were eating an unhealthy plant-based diet, it was associated with a 28% higher fracture risk. So I have no idea. I couldn't find any conclusions as to what this means. But again, they emphasized the long-term adherence to a plant-based diet was not associated with hip fracture risk. So I don't know, 70,000 people, 2,038 cases of hip fracture that they did this with. They did the HPDI and the UPDI, those two indices where they rate your diet and you get a score of how healthy it was. So that seems to be a useful technique people are using a lot for stuff. And that's what they found. So I don't know, Doug, how could that be the case? Could it be that long-term deficiency sets in and you lose whatever benefits you might have gotten in the early days of going plant-based? Or could it be that your plant-based diet is so different and good if you eat a healthy plant-based diet compared to what you've been eating that for a while you get this halo effect and then it goes away?
Surge. Yeah. I don't know. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, a couple of years ago, a study came out that said that vegans broke more bones.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really nice to see this. I'd love to know why there's different, I would love to compare the studies and see why the results are a little different. But good to see it. And means I got to go back and update some email copy that goes out because I refer to that study and
that's right.
And some emails.
I guess so. Are people still reading those emails? I guess they're in the autoresponder that go out whenever you sign up. Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Hey, my phone is not too far from dying. So if you're on Instagram, head over to youtube.com/nomadeathlete. That's the real show. It's where the chat is. It's where the activity is. It's just where you want to be if you're into this show. So get over there. And if it dies, then even more reason to do so. All right, next up, Coors Field has expanded their dining options ahead of the April 5th opening day Major League Baseball for the Colorado Rockies. They're going to have a plant-based burger with burger sauce, whatever that is, pickles and vegan cheddar cheese, a chorizo burger, a plant-based burger with chorizo. That seems weird. I don't know what that is. A Medi burger, which is like a Mediterranean thing, has za'atar, carrot, sumac, slaw, etc. And vanilla and strawberry shakes made with tahini, oat milk, banana, dates, and protein powder. What do you think, Doug? I mean, nothing seems more American than a good old catching a ball game and drinking a protein shake, in my opinion.
I don't think I've ever seen or heard of anyone ordering a milkshake at a baseball game.
Yeah, not a milkshake. I mean, certainly not a protein shake.
No. But I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of having those vegan options at a stadium. So I think this is great, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope that it's included in every concession stand, not just some specialty stand. It doesn't say, at least in the notes that you have here.
Right. So yeah, I don't know that, but hopefully unlikely that all those burgers are at every stand because usually there's only one burger at a stand.
Yeah,
but yeah, baseball stadiums aren't that big, so you can make a little walk around and get it, hopefully. Or maybe they got a few.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I agree with you on this. At a sporting event, that's one of the nicest times to have a vegan option. It's also one of the times, like, if there's not deliberately a vegan option, there will be zero for you to eat, except for like peanuts, maybe popcorn. So it's really nice when there's a plant-based thing because it not just like can you actually get to eat during the time, but it's just part of the thing. I don't know, going to a game, eating a hot dog, sure. It's just part of the deal. So it's nice to be able to go there and do that kind of thing. So I wish all stadiums would have this.
Do you see the Phillies are getting rid of their dollar dog night? Because last season it turned into food fights. I think we covered that.
I mean, how could it not? Though? Of course they're going to do that. Right? It's dollar hot dogs. I mean, how could they not see that coming? Have you seen footage of it?
Yeah, really? It's wild. I mean, people are just hucking entire hot dogs throughout the stadium.
Not surprised. Especially in Philly. That's where they do that.
Yeah. So, but now they're moving to 2 for $5 instead of...
Oh, okay. So you can still have a fight. It just will cost you more.
You can still have a fight. Yeah, so now the call to action from the Phillies fans is to use your extra hot dog and throw that one. keep the food fight going.
All right. Bitter says, looking forward to getting a Beyond Sausage at our stadium this summer. Tell us what stadium that is, Bitters. I don't think I know where you live. I know you're a drummer. I know you don't drink alcohol. I know you like heavy metal, I think. I think Bitters runs, like soccer. That's all I know.
Got to find out.
Yeah. Okay, so there's your weather report. That's it. Just those few items today, not too many. So that brings us to the real story, the big one, the Daya ad, which this was in Plant-Based News, but it's also in adweek.com where the video is if you want to go watch it there. And the headline over there is Vegan Nightmare. plant-based Daya brand touts real beef cheeseburgers in new ad. And again, if you wonder why I'm saying Daya instead of Daya like a normal person, it's because in the ad, the voiceover says Daya. And we did know, I had heard rumblings that that's how you pronounce it, because my friend who went to a vegan dietitian conference a long time ago said they were there and they said it's Daya. But anyway, Doug, you want to play this ad before we get into the
Yeah, let's get into details? It. And interestingly, I've been getting messages or like notifications that there's a conversation happening right now on our team about this very ad. So it's spreading, it's spreading fast. Wow.
We can okay. use. Good. All right.
All right. Play the Here team. We go.
I got no sound.
No sound.
Oh, aren't supposed to. This just might be the most controversial commercial of all time. Because plant-based cheese companies like us aren't supposed to show beef in an ad. But at Daya, we believe everyone should be able to enjoy plant-based cheese. Even on a beef burger. Enough controversy. Let's eat. 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made from Daya Oat Cream Blend. Daya, dairy-free dairy.
So there you have it.
There it is. Matt. They showed real beef in the burger. And they said it was one of the most controversial ads of all time. I don't know if that's being ironic or if they really think that. I mean, I guess it is a little bit controversial, but I don't know. It seems like a big statement.
When you call the ad controversial in the ad, then how controversial is it? I mean, so, all right. Oh man, we got some controversy going on here.
Love it, hate it. I'm shook.
And then Miss Jeffrey, I love it. Steven hates it. Alex is shook. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Uh-huh. I think it's great.
Okay.
And here's why. I think that it is a vegan cheese company. It is not a vegan company necessarily.
Right.
It is a vegan cheese company. And just like we were talking about earlier about how to have conversations with people, you know, and how we approach a vegan diet and our evangelism of a vegan diet. I think that for a vegan cheese company to make their cheese feel approachable to everyone, vegan or not, is a win, of course, for their company, but also just for people choosing a vegan option of a vegan dairy option. Mm-hmm. And if it just makes somebody think like, oh, I like oat milk in my coffee, maybe I would like an oat milk cheese slice on my burger and it would make my belly feel a little bit better. And then they choose that. That's a big win for the community.
Yes. And to your point, I think it was the Plant-Based News article that says that 44%, maybe it was the Adweek article, 44% of U.S. households buy plant-based milk, non-dairy milk, and only 3% buy plant-based cheese. So I'm sorry. No, let me rephrase that. 44% buy plant-based dairy. So that's inclusive of the whole market of the plant-based stuff. And only 3% of those are buying plant-based cheese. That's how bad plant-based cheese is so far, or has been, or at least how badly it has fit the marketplace's desires. I'm not saying it's all bad, but most of it's not very good. Daya being a good example of one that's really not very good, in my opinion. And so, yeah, that's a good point. If people already are buying the milk, then maybe this would get them to buy this or try this at least. Like you, I want to like this a lot because I really do like this idea. I like the idea of appealing to a mainstream customer with the plant-based thing, being willing to, I know, alienate some of the hardcore vegan fans, and they've done that because someone said they're not a vegan ally or something, I think on Reddit was one of the quotes, now that they've done this, or maybe they've always been that. But I just think it's going to take a company like that to do that right, and to really lean into the mainstreamers and say, this is for everyone else. This is not meant to be for vegans. I think that's what it's going to take. I don't really know, but so I like that. I like them doing that. Here's the thing though. I don't think like Garuda Legend says, let me find his quote here. It says, LOL, how about no? If I'm going to commit to a cheeseburger, Daya is not on my radar. And that's my thought. Like looking at these greasy big burgers that I'm sure to a meat eater looks really good. Like, why would they adulterate it with a piece of, you know, this starchy oil product that's like doesn't really melt and stretch correctly. I know it kind of looks like it does in the ad, but if they're like, if they're kind of a whole food person and their burger is like, at the very least, it's a whole food. I know it's probably not the healthiest thing I can eat, but it's a real natural food. Why am I going to put that on?
But how many whole food eaters are eating a cheeseburger to begin with?
I don't know. A slice of, that's a good question. I don't know. Or eating a hamburger. I do think a lot of them are eating a hamburger. I think that's a lot of paleo carnivores. I think they eat that.
But that is such a small fraction of the people who eat hamburgers. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, most people who eat a hamburger are just thrown on whatever cheese they bought at the store, and you know, using low quality ground beef, and they're just making.
I agree with that.
Maybe even frozen patties. You know.
So why would that person care to put a plant based cheese in there? Why is that better?
I think a lot of people. Well, okay, that's a great question.
No, I don't mean healthy for them. Like, why is that a better? Why do they feel better about that choice than eating something that probably to them seems more natural than that, even if it's not true? Mm-hmm. Like, why would someone choose to put the day on there? Like, there's no reason here why they would do that. Like, there's no benefit to the person in the ad here for putting this on there. They just said how controversial the commercial is, and that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. That's a valid point. Maybe there's someone who like does associate, you know, the dairy industry with some sort of problem.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Whether it's, you know, health or environmental. And, you know, I can think of two close friends. Or a brother-in-law and a close friend who, you know, eat dairy, but they, every time they have a slice of pizza, they know that they're going to feel bad. You know, they know their body just doesn't handle lactose very well. Mm-hmm. But they still do it whenever, you know, it happens because they like pizza. They like a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I know people like that, for sure. Sacrifice.
I mean, I think a lot of people experience that. So again, like if you're familiar enough with oat milk and oat milk lattes or whatever, then maybe you would choose the oat milk cheese and think like, oh, well, at least I'll feel a little bit better if I do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is true. And I think that's a potential like small market for this. People who really do feel an adverse effect from eating dairy and they, you know, when they switch this, they don't feel that. And now this enables them to eat cheeseburgers more often. I could see that person sticking with it. But and the elephant in the room here is, God forbid somebody actually does get convinced by this commercial and go try a slice of Daiya on their burger. They're not going to do it again. It's terrible. I mean, they'll say, this is awful. It might've looked kind of good in that commercial, but this is nothing like cheese is supposed to taste. So it's just not going to work.
Have you had the new Daiya?
No, but Britter said it was bad. So I trusted Britters. Who, by the way, also likes, she loves coffee junkie. So that's, forgot to mention that. She's a Baratza grinder.
That's right. Yeah. Baratza person.
Yeah. So
I haven't had it, so I can't speak to it entirely. But
it does sound good. I mean, at the end, it says maybe now with whipped cream or whatever. That kind of sounds good. It makes me think I would want to try it if I didn't know better, but I do know better.
Well, this is where like I think the Daiya is good, right? Like it or is better. And this type of like, you know, non-artisan vegan cheese is better. Is on a cheeseburger when you're going to add ketchup and mustard, mm-hmm. and you have the burger. And, you know, maybe lettuce and tomato and who knows, maybe guacamole, you're going crazy, right? Like you're going to throw all this stuff on there and the cheese isn't the feature. On a pizza, that's a little bit different, right? I mean, you know, the cheese is a pretty critical feature of a pizza.
Right.
Or like a grilled cheese or something like that. And so then like the cheeses that still have a way to go on the vegan side, you know, like it highlights those discrepancies quite a bit more. But on a cheeseburger, I can see like you not really paying much attention. It kind of gives a little bit of a creamy mouthfeel and scratches an itch.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. That's not a bad point. I don't know. I applaud them for doing this. I think this is good. Like I said, I think a vegan company, I think this is a great move to do. I don't know if it's going to work in this case because I don't think the product is good enough. And I don't think there's a reason for people to want to put this on there. But I don't fault them for trying this and appealing to a broader market. The question is, will this bring in more fans from mainstream crowd, Doug, than it alienates vegans who'd say they're no longer a vegan ally because they did this?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Will it alienate more people than their pyramid scheme that they did, that thing where we sent away for free pizza and never got it? Do you get your coupons ever yet?
See, no. See, that That already made all the vegans mad because we were so stoked on our free pizza.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, they already lost us. Now they gotta they gotta go for someone else. You know, I think I don't know. I really like the slogan for a vegan cheese company, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. I think that's mm-hmm. I think that's a great approach. So
yeah, I do too. That I mean that yeah, that mindset I think can attract a lot of people to the right product. And I don't think this is it, but mm-hmm. I do think that's a good mindset. Yeah. Okay. Good. Little argument in the comments about whether or not ground beef is a whole processed food. I guess I said that people would say this is a whole food. Big Meaty X Clause says hamburgers are a processed, not a whole food. Garuda Legends, who else, says hamburger patties is a whole food and not processed. The bread and condiments are processed. Which side are you on, Doug? Garuda or Big Meaty X Clause?
I don't know. I don't know enough about ground beef, to be honest.
If it's just plain old ground beef and they just grind the beef, that's not processed mm-hmm. in my book. That is unprocessed enough to be an unprocessed mm-hmm. Whole food. But I don't know what else gets added there. I'm sure in a McDonald's burger, there's a lot more in there than just that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What happens? So when you have like lean, like, you know how you have ground beef that's different fat amounts?
Yeah.
How do they
I don't know. Maybe they get it from a different cut, maybe. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they press it out. I like this comment from Kate. Day of frozen pizza is the saddest thing in the entire freezer case. And it really is. I got it once and I thought it was really, really bad. You got it yet, Doug? You tried it?
Yeah, of course.
You have some in your freezer right now?
No.
You don't keep it for like when you come home late on Thirsty Thursday? And the taco wasn't enough.
The kids will eat it every once in a while. Like we get it if we're going to a friend's house for pizza or something like that. We'll get it for the kids because they'll eat the cheese pizza. It's fine.
All right. Allie said she got the
Allie,
coupon.
Oh, this is huge news. Breaking news. Yeah. Allie got the coupon.
So that's good. It's not a complete scam. For those who don't remember, they did this thing, you had to share it or something, and then tell them that you did or something. I forget what it was. You had to email and get your free, claim your free coupon. So we all did it. And then like a week later, they said, oh, by the way, we got too many people to do that. So now we're not doing it. You're entered in a raffle for something. And then they reversed it. But then no one had actually gotten the coupon. So now Allie actually has. So that's good. Oh. All right. Big Media X Club says a steak is unprocessed. So they must agree that grinding the steak doesn't really process it. And I know technically that is processing, but it's not ultra processing. All right. My phone has died. I think that's why I temporarily lost Doug. Doug, you back?
You can hear me? Okay. I'm back.
All right. So yeah, my phone ran out of power. Sorry about that. All right. So yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I don't think there's any more. Is there more to say about this, Doug? I don't know why I thought we had something to revisit.
Do you think that, I don't know. Do you think that all vegan brands should be like, should Miyoko's be like throwing their cheese on top of
right
meat?
Yeah, I mean, that came to mind when I saw this. I thought Miyoko's would never have done this when it was Miyoko's. I don't know if I mean, when Miyoko was the owner of it, like she possessed it. I don't know what the relationship even is now with them, but and I don't know if they would do this now, but I don't think so. Like, that's not their niche, so I don't know. I mean, No, I don't think all vegan brands do that, right? Certainly a brand that is like really tied in with vegan people and does animal rights stuff and stuff as Miyoko's mm-hmm. does, or at least did. No, I mean, I think the cost to them is too much. They lose too many people by doing that. So no, I don't think it's right for everybody, but I think like we need that. If we do want to spread this thing, and again, right. I do hope it spreads. I'm not trying to convince people, but I do hope it does because I would like less animals to be harmed, of course. Then we need this. But this is what Beyond and Impossible are doing. They're targeting these meat eaters, sure. And they haven't had really that much success. I mean, we say they haven't, but I guess they've had success. There's an Impossible Whopper, right? So that's a pretty big deal as far as mainstream exposure.
Which is not vegan, right? I mean, it comes with
not vegan by default, vegan right? Food. You have to ask for it. Yeah. So okay, Alex says Daya has sort of introduced the idea, and now we can all just apply better cheese. Yeah, so we can do the same thing on actual good cheese, like this melt stuff that is coming that I think is going to be the one, and that will fulfill my New Year's prognostication. It said there would be a one that comes forth.
Is that available yet anywhere?
I don't know.
There's been a lot of hype around it.
I know there has. It was sort of a prophecy that I gave, really. That's like kind of what we could say that way. Like I said, it will rise. A new one will come up and we will never have heard of it. I mean, that's a big call.
Is it called Melt?
In yeah, it's called all capitals Melt.
I can't even find it. If you Google Melt vegan cheese.
Well, I could be wrong. Yeah, you're right. I don't see that either.
It's all about how to melt vegan cheese.
Right. All right. I'm gonna check this out real quick. Plantbasednews.org. Melt cheese. Yeah, it's Melt. You're right. Why are there no articles on that? I guess people just searching for actually how to melt vegan cheese is so popular that Google assumes that which what you mean.
Mr. Jeffrey comes in with the answers our question around fat and ground beef. They can control how much fat in ground beef because they just use more or less of the fatty pieces. It's a very controlled process.
Makes sense. Scott Mulholland has called me Matt Stradamus. I like it. That's if I hit these three predictions, Bitcoin to 500,000, Impossible Whopper gone, and a new vegan cheese on the scene that destroys all others, then you can count on me for anything you need to know about the future. Okay. I think that's it. I think we're done. Good turnout again today. Thanks to Twitter. Once again, I don't know why people are watching on Twitter or why it doesn't show up when we go to Twitter. It could be a glitch in the stats or something and they're not really there, but who knows? Still, please smash the like button, smash the whatever you do on Twitter, the heart button, I guess. The retweet button, maybe the repost, quote tweet, all those things. And of course, YouTube, please subscribe, put notifications on, smash the like button. And that's it. Good show. We didn't have to go down the eat this, not that, or best life online stuff for this Thursday. We had a real discussion.
Uh-oh. Need a good thumbnail, Matt. I'm trying to get better thumbs down after you called me out. So make a funny face.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good day.
See you on Tuesday, not tomorrow.
Doug will be there tomorrow, but everyone else will. So you can come to No Meat Athlete Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Same place, live on YouTube, live on wherever you watch this. So that's a good place to go. All right. Good show. Have a great weekend. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.